that you have to know what you have to do to an animal. If you haven't ever been around horses or cattle, you need to be careful because they can hurt you. They can kill you. You know, I can think about an old farmer like me. He was about my age now, and we thought he was an old farmer. And, of course, he's out there getting a bunch of calves in the lot one day to take them to the sale, and they're 400, 500, 600, 700, 800-pound little steers and so forth. And he's getting them in there, and he gets them up there, and all of a sudden he thinks he's got them up going toward a trailer, and he steps down, and one of them big ones starts to back out. And when he does, he looks up, and he's right there. And he hits him right like this and knocks him down. Well, that big beast just kept coming backwards right out over him, stepped right in his stomach and everything else. And then when he did, he's hurt. He's laying there. The whole herd came out of the trailer and run right over the top of him and killed him. They found him dead in that little track. You can't stand when 10 or 15 of those 600, 700, 800-pounders walk over you with those hooves. They killed him. They made one little mistake. You have to know your animals. Now then, godly men are concerned about the welfare of their animals. We do the best we can to take care of them. But you've got to know how to deal with animals. You know, even the kindness of the wicked is cruel. Even the kindness of the wicked is cruel. When somebody thinks they're being good, you know, you can be cruel. You can be cruel. You can think you can. Okay, hard work. Now, we could have put a lot in there without putting that in there. Hard work means prosperity. Yeah. I mean, hard work. I mean, goodness, look like we could have done something else here. Look like God could have said something else. But he says hard work means prosperity. Now, there's a lot of people that are that next guy. They're a fool that idle away their time. Do you know? There's one thing every one of us have the same amount of. Time. And what are we going to do with it? Are we going to take that time and are we going to utilize it for the kingdom? Are we going to be the Proverbs 31 woman, you know, that's going to work diligently? Boy, we'll get to that eventually. But that woman is a worker. If you got a Proverbs 31 woman, you're a lucky guy, you know. There's not a lot of them out there, I'll tell you for sure. But there are some out there, praise God. But there's not a lot of good men out there either. There's some that are willing to work, and there's some that's not willing to work. And when it comes to working hard, I can remember, used to when I had that farm down in the country down there, I'd raise several thousand bales of alfalfa hay. We used to square bale it. I don't ever do that no more, but back in those days I did. And we'd go out and put a couple of hundred bales on a trailer at a time, and I'd get two young men about 18 to 20 years old to stack the stuff on the trailer, and I'd throw it up. And by the time I'd get that 200th bale up there, they're hollering, "Mr. Scrivener, let's stop, let's take a break, it's too hot." I said, "All you boys are doing is pick the hay up and taking it around. I'm throwing it up to you." You know, I thought to myself, they don't make many good boys anymore. There's a few, but there ain't many hard-working boys left. Now, I think in every generation, I think back of how my dad used to say how hard a worker his dad was, and he couldn't keep up with his dad, and I had trouble keeping up with my dad. And I think every generation, it seems we get a little bit weaker. We get a little bit... What did you say, Dave? Oh, more blessed. Don't have to work quite as hard, right? You know, I can tell you one day or a couple of days, I was down the valley and we were baling hay and I broke a shaft on a baler and I couldn't find one without having to order from the Ford factory, and it was going to take like 2 weeks to get it. So I took the shaft over to a machine shop and had one made, and then took it back, took them all day, took it back. And that next morning by about 5 o'clock, I had all this alfalfa hay on the ground. And you can't leave it there. If you have never raised it, you don't know what I'm talking about. But it can only lay there a certain period of time. After that, it's no good. So I had to get it baled. And so I had been up all day, all night, all day, and all night the next night. And about 5 o'clock in the morning, it's getting a little bit daylight. I'm laying under that baler trying to put it back together. And I just fall over and I said, "Dad, I'm exhausted. I can't go any further." Now, back in those days, I was 35 and Dad was 70. He was 35 years older than I am. He's older than I am right now. He'd been with me every minute. Everywhere. He'd been up with me every minute. I'd been up. He'd been helping me and everything else. And here I'm going. I'm doing the brunt of the work, but he's helping me. And he looked at me and he said, "Oh, son, I've seen it like this for days and days. And then get worse." He said, "We're going to make it. Just keep going." And that gave me that burst of adrenaline I needed. And by about 7 o'clock in the morning, I had the baler back together and had it working. And then Dad got on it and baled hay all day long. All day long. I think how tough that guy was. Wow. Hard work means prosperity. Only fools idle away their time. Thieves are jealous of each other's loot, while the godly bear their own fruit. So these thieves are out there stealing and everything, and they're not producing anything but death and destruction. And you and I are out there producing fruit for the kingdom of God, doing things for the Lord, and ours is going to be eternal and rewarding forever. The Lord's going to keep record of everything you do for Him. He will know everything you do when you get home. It will be so well recorded. You think we got good records here? You know, did you know you can go back, you can call the government and ask them how much money you paid into your Social Security and how many years, and did you know they can pull that up in a heartbeat and tell you everything from the day you started paying? They have kept good records. But their records are going to be nothing compared to the Lord's. So you better make sure every sin you've got has been confessed, because you want it washed in the blood. So when He looks at your slate and you say, "Lord, this is Lisa." He said, "Oh, let me pull your slate out, the bad side." "Oh, wonderful. There's nothing there." Amen. "Over here on this side, good." "Oh, it's long, Lisa." "Is that what you want to hear, girl?" "Yes, yes, yes." That's what all of us want to hear, isn't it? Thank goodness for the blood, right? Thank you, Jesus, for the wonderful blood. Now then, next couple of verses. The wicked are trapped by their own words, but the godly escape such trouble. Now, most people don't understand, just like I didn't for years and years and years in the church, I didn't understand the power of my tongue. I didn't understand that I had what I said with my mouth. But not only did the Lord make this statement in the book of Proverbs over and over and over, but He comes to the New Testament and tells us several times what happens to us when we speak the wrong things. He even goes so far to say under the New Covenant that whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe it with your heart, you'll have it. Isn't that amazing? And so we get a pain in our side one day. "Oh my goodness, I feel bad today. I must be coming down with appendicitis." You heard people make those kind of statements? They don't know if they got appendicitis. They just got a pain in their side. And the old devil's sitting there saying, "You think you got appendicitis? I'll give it to you. He can fix you right up." Another preacher that I was going to mention his name, couldn't think of it right now. He has confirmed this several times. Charles Capps. He is one of the strongest teachers on the Word I've ever heard besides myself. Charles Capps teaches on the Word and the power of the tongue, I guess, more than any other preacher I've ever listened to on the radio. But he talks about it a lot. Why? Because it's in the Word. "Now, the wicked are trapped by their own words, but the godly escape such trouble." How are you going to escape speaking the wrong things? You're going to have to read the Word and learn what God likes and what He doesn't like. And that you are a son or a daughter of God, and your words are supposed to glorify Him and not bring sickness and disease upon your body. So anyway, people can get many good things by the words they say. the work of their hands also gives them many benefits. I mean, people can get many good things by the words they say. Your words have such great and awesome power. You say, the Lord, He's my shepherd. He is my strength. In Him do I trust. I will kick my feet under His table, and He promised to never, ever let me go a day without food. He promised to bless my mouth with good things. If you say what the Word says, what do you think God's going to do for you? He's going to do exactly what you said, as long as you obey Him, right? You say the right things, and how hard is it to do that? It's hard to say the right things all the time, especially when your body is not responding like you want it to. You know, somebody said, well, this is crazy. I'm saying I'm healed when I feel awful. But you don't go by what you feel or see. You go by what's written in the Word. When you go by what's written in the Word, it will bring forth your healing. I've seen it happen many, many times. But the work of our hands also gives us many benefits. That's why God gives us these things. And remember, when's the last time you looked at it and said, thank you, Lord, that I can open and close it? Every morning. I do that quite often myself. Especially every time I think about little William, you know, when he couldn't for 7 or 8 years. He was all withered down like that and drawn up, and he couldn't even move it. And then God, that 10 years ago, when I had the privilege to lay hands on him, the Lord instantly healed that little hand and made that hand perfect. You know, and like I say, the next day when I went by there, I went by to see him. To see, that was back in the days when I was just beginning to see a few miracles. And when you see a man that's got a withered hand and then all of a sudden right in front of your eyes it opens and becomes perfect, you're almost thinking, Lord, is this real? You know, when you first see the Lord start doing those things, it's like living in a dream world, I don't mind telling you. So I wanted to go by and see William the next day. When I walked up to his little humble apartment, knocked on the door, he said, come in. He didn't even come to the door. He said, it ain't locked. Come in. I walked in there. He sat right in the middle of the bed saying, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.